As Robin mentioned, I am the former Chief Statistician of Canada, responsible for holding the 2011 census. But before the census happened, there were events that took place because of which I resigned from my job. And I was asked by Robin to come and share our experience on the census with you folks, which is what I'm going to do. So, disclaimer, and then let's move on. Why do we have a census? Well, the census, at least the way we know it in Canada, is a gold standard for measuring reality. As a simple example, if you want to find out, for example, how many jobs there are in a country, how many people are unemployed, you ask everybody who is in the labor force that question, and if it is mandatory for all of these people to respond, and they do respond, which actually has been more or less our experience in Canada, you find out precisely how many jobs there are and how many people are unemployed. If, on the other hand, you don't get the responses from everyone, if the responses are voluntary, it obviously is natural that people would not respond to that question. You won't have all the information that you need to draw conclusions which are as close to reality as possible. It is also the case, at least our experience in Canada, that there are certain types of populations and there are certain types of areas, small areas, where the response rates are quite low. And if that is the case, then indeed the results are really, really biased. And the counts of those populations who do not respond particularly to those kinds of questions are understated, which of course can mean bad news for any policy development that is based on that data. The second use of a census, which in my 4 years having left from my job and seen all the debate on the census, an issue which really doesn't catch anybody's attention, to me it is even more important than the accuracy of the data that the census provides, is that the census information provides an anchor for all of the other voluntary surveys that go on in a country. The reason, as I stated earlier, all voluntary surveys, if the response rates are not unbiased, would provide biased information, and that information needs to be adjusted appropriately with the information that a census provides. If you don't have the census as an anchor, all of those voluntary surveys become less accurate, and as they move further and further away from the time a census was conducted, they become less and less valuable. And of course, if you never have a census, then I would make the argument that your whole system of surveys would come crumbling down and all your data would become basically a piece of garbage. So our census, our long form census, provides invaluable information for a number of variables, which includes wages, incomes and jobs, transportation needs, education planning, housing affordability, and many more things, including public health. You know, the census data, the long-form census data is absolutely crucial. Let me just make a comment on the very first thing I mentioned here, wages, incomes, and jobs. Someone writing an op-ed in the Globe and Mail, one of our main newspapers, made the observation after using the data which was taken from the replacement for the census. He said, Canada has successfully eliminated poverty. And how were we able to do that so quickly? Well, we replaced our long-form census with the National Household Survey. And the reason is fairly simple. There are people, you know, people who are poor, less educated, unemployed, they don't really respond to the survey, so their information doesn't get captured. And if you start taking averages based on the information you have received, the country would look much richer than it is, more employed than it is, and so the information just basically suggests that there's no need to take any social policy action. And of course, people in Canada, public health of people, they have been using the census, and they have been very critical of the decision to abolish the long-form census. The kinds of information, for example, that the census can provide that is useful for public health issues. The census obviously provides sample frames for health analysis. It provides information on at-risk populations, provides information that helps you understand factors that affect at-risk populations. The long-form census obviously provides information that contributes to planning and assessment of public health policies and can help you plan your human health resources. All of that information is now less accurate than what it used to be. So in contrast to what a census gives you, here is what a voluntary survey gives you. So let me just explain the picture a little bit. The driver, anybody who has to make a decision based on evidence, it can be the federal government, it can be our provincial governments, municipal governments, the academia, churches for that matter, colleges, a businessman, any individual who wants to do something where that individual requires data. The eyes you don't see because the eyes used to be the long-form census. You can't see them anymore because it doesn't happen anymore. The blindfold is our National Household Survey, which replaces the long-form census. And the lady sitting next to the driver, it's all of us, you and me, traveling on the freeway in a car driven by a person with a blindfold. And what is going to happen to all of us? I'm sure you can imagine from this picture, what we are looking forward to. So, as I said, what happened in Canada in the 2011 census, where the long-form census was replaced by the National Household Survey, I think is as close to a scientific experiment as you can conduct to what does the voluntary nature of a census mean for the quality of data. The only thing that changed between a long-form census and the National Household Survey, the census is mandatory, the National Household Survey is voluntary. And so you can determine the consequences of making your data collection voluntary based on our experience with the National Household Survey. I'll give you a few examples of how bad the data are. First of all, for the dissemination of census data, the cutoff rate for the global non-response rate for Statistics Canada is 25%. What it means is that if Canadians have not responded to some questions and that non-response rate is over 25%, Statistics Canada will not make that information public. So what is the non-response rate in our National Household Survey, which is the long form, voluntary? For Canada, the non-response rate is 26.1%. For Ontario, the largest province, it is 27%. So what that means is that on average, if these were the non-response rates, equally distributed across the country, none of the information which got made public in the National Household Survey would have been published by Statistics Canada, just because the quality of the data would be so bad. So, given the challenge that we faced, that we spent $652 million on a survey and the data would not have been published, what do you do? Well, of course, the simple solution is, why don't you lower your thresholds? So instead of the cutoff being 25%, for the dissemination of the National Household Survey data, the cutoff was increased to 50%. So with that 50% cutoff, of course, a lot of the data became public. But even with that cutoff, we find that a quarter of the Canadian communities don't have any data from the National Household Survey because the quality is bad or there are confidentiality problems. And in the province of Saskatchewan, 40% of our communities have no data published under the National Household Survey. 40%, that's not a small number. And let me actually just mention one other point. Here, whatever conversation I've heard on the census issue, the topics of cost and privacy are just put together. We want to do away with this because we want to reduce our cost. We are worried about privacy. In Canada, the debate provided a trade-off between the two. And the trade-off was, I went and made the argument to the government of Canada. I said, if you want to make the census voluntary, I, as the chief statistician, need more money from you. Because I have to follow people up who are not responding because this is the law of the land. I have to go after them again and again and again. It's going to cost money. So as a result of that argument, the government of Canada did give us $30 million more to run this survey, of which we spent $22 million. So this survey is more costly than the census because you don't have to respond to something by law. You're going to respond to it because you're being persuaded based on repeated phone calls or visits from Statistics Canada. Let me give you a couple of other examples. There are some variables for which you can find information in Canada, both from the short form census and from the voluntary National Household Survey. And then, of course, you can compare the two because it is the information on the same variable to see how bad or good the household survey data are. And, of course, we start with the assumption that if a question has been answered by the population with a response rate of 98%, which is what the short-form census is, and the response rate of 68% from the National Household Survey, that the census information is as close to the reality as you can think of. So you divide the information from the National Household Survey by the census information. Of course, if they are equal, the ratio should be 1. If they are not, then there's something wrong with the data from the National Household Survey. So these dots tell you how good or bad the quality of the National Household Survey data is on small population. At one end, you see a ratio of 2. At another end, you see a ratio of 0.10. They're all over the map, and I draw the conclusion from this that the National Household Survey data are really quite bad. Let me pick up another variable, is information on all kinds of dwellings in the two sources of data. I'll just pick one variable, which is apartments. And this chart does exactly the same thing that the previous chart did. It's not on population, it is on apartments. And look at the ratio, it wiggles around 1, can get up to as high as 3, or be as low as 0.5, or 50% of the information in the census. And this is, by the way, for the metropolitan area of Toronto. And what you see at the bottom is the census tracts. So, what do we conclude on the quality of the national household data, or basically the quality of having a voluntary survey? There was an article published in our premier newspaper, Globe and Mail, in October 2013, and the author of the article went around talked to the analysts who have worked with the data from the National Household Survey. I'll give you some of the quotes from that article. It is a complete waste of money. It left out the most vulnerable people. The data is pretty much garbage. In effect, the data is dangerous, and I gave you an example as to why the data would be dangerous. When instead of there being no information from a survey, you actually get wrong information, which means your policies are going to be totally opposite to the policies you want them, then that data is dangerous. Some people didn't like it, but I have said in Canada that if there is a choice between no data and the National Household Survey, please, for God's sake, you save the money. It's a lot of money. You can do it, use it for other good causes. But that data that you produce with that money actually is quite dangerous. And, of course, another comment that it is a mess. So the conclusion that I would draw on the data from a voluntary census is that these data are generally invalid as a replacement for the census data. We need the census data for a particular purpose, and if it doesn't serve that purpose, it isn't a useful approach to collecting data. So message to everybody, you know, good data are at the heart of making intelligent governance decisions, and we should all insist on getting good data, and the mandatory census is part of a suite of good data that I think a country must have.